The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the place where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio, we're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about the new rules of attraction for those who are dating and over 50 years old. You know, if you're over 50 and single, you've probably heard plenty of dating advice. Download the apps, write a better profile, be authentic, don't settle, all good advice. But today we're taking a different approach. Instead of focusing on how to date, we're going to talk about how dating itself is changing. What does attraction really look like today? Why are couples choosing to live apart while staying deeply committed? How do you balance independence with intimacy? And perhaps the biggest quest of all, what does a successful relationship look like at this stage of life when you're over 50? Joining us once again is going to be one of my favorite return guests, Silke Schwarzkopf, founder and host of Second Act TV, a media platform dedicated to helping people thrive in the second half of life. Silke's become a trusted voice on topics ranging from relationships and wellness to reinvention and longevity. And she always brings a fresh mix of wisdom, curiosity, and common sense to the conversation. And today we're going to leave behind the tired dating cliches and explore what's really happening for mature singles in today's world. Whether you're actively dating, happily partnered, or simply curious about the evolving dating landscape in modern relationships, I think you'll find plenty of useful takeaways. So settle in, because we're about to have a lively conversation about love, connection, and creating relationships that truly fit the life you've built.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I am delighted to welcome back our friend Silke Schwarzkopf. She is the creator and host of the wildly successful Second Act TV YouTube program that is just a runaway sensation, and I'm fortunate enough to be a frequent guest on the show. And because of that, I got my own Second Act merch here. I've got my Second Act TV mug.
It's
filled with some... coffee
thank
today.
You, Robert.
So welcome back to the show, Silke.
Thank you. It's always fun talking with you, and I like being on this side every now.
Well, listen, you have spoken to and kind of picked the brains of so many dating experts, male, female, and other people in kind of the over 50 wellness field, if you will, that I thought it would be great to bring you back and we get into dating after 50, but a fresh angle, which is kind of since everything's changed. And I was talking to my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I'm going to be talking with Silke about dating over 50. What's your take on that? My wife's over 50 now. And she said, you know what, I can imagine it must be really tough now because I'm so out of that mind space, but with everything's so complicated now. So I thought we'd frame this as the new rules for dating after 50. So
I think that's true. I think that's terrific. I think that, you know, uni is right. It does seem overwhelming, but it's more overwhelming the longer you've been away from it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're just starting, it gets easier and easier once you just understand, you know, the world, the new dating world. So that's what the channel does.
Okay, so we'll have a convo on this, and you tell me what you think and what some of the experts that you've interviewed have told you, and I'll share what I've heard from some of the experts that I've interviewed, and also my own practical experience as a guy's guy on this whole thing, and from my experience and appearances on Second Act TV. So let's start right at the top. New rules of attraction for 2026. Like, what people over 50 are finding attractive today versus 10 years ago? And we've both been doing this about that time. What do you think? What comes to the mind first when you hear how attraction has changed for people over 50 now versus 10 years ago?
Well, I think one thing we've learned is that chemistry isn't the most important thing. And while I say that, let me just really make that clear. Chemistry is extremely important. You have to have chemistry. However, chemistry isn't what keeps a relationship together. And I think after 50, because we're older. We have had more experience. We may not be wiser, but we've had a lot more experience. And we realize that relationships that start strong with chemistry can easily end in divorce and half. So I think that we're becoming more conscious of that. And we discuss that, you know, on the show a lot too. And I think another overarching topic would be chemistry, or just the whole attraction to excitement, you know, is we've learned that excitement is not always the guiding principle of a relationship, that we really appreciate peace. And believe it or not, a lot of men express that. So I think those are maybe some of the bigger areas.
Fascinating. Well, let's follow up on that. So you think emotional maturity has become the new chemistry?
No, I won't say it's a new one. I think that I think chemistry, and the reason I say this, Robert, is because we are still, you know, the visual is the first impression, especially for men. Women are a little bit more open to understanding that that isn't everything. So I don't want to just underline, you know, emotional maturity is the new chemistry. I want to clearly differentiate that that's what keeps a relationship together. And if we understood that from the start, we may give somebody who were not, like, you know, we don't have the butterflies going, we might give them more of a chance, because we realize that's how real lasting chemistry develops, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. You know, when I think back in high school and college and when we were dating and stuff, and even after that, when I was in New York City in the marketing and advertising business, I never thought that status was the ultimate decider in terms of dating. But now it seems like there's a whole 80-20 thing where, you know, 80% of the women are after 20% of the guys who are super successful. It seems from a distance that seems to be the case now more than ever. It didn't seem to be as important. Status didn't seem to be quite the differentiator or driver then than it is now. It's like it's not about having a dream. It's having your dream fulfilled. Do you think that and nowadays, and for people over 50, that confidence is a form of status now, or is it still all about money and power and position?
Okay, so first of all, I would agree with you that even when I was younger, yes, it's part of it. I mean, you don't want to date a loser, a man or woman, whatever that meant at the time. Right. But I think it's largely superficial. It really is largely superficial, unless it somehow displays, confirms, whatever, you know, that you've accomplished something in life. I think that's more, maybe that's where the difference is between younger and now older, that if the cars, the whatever, you know, the vacations, the houses, it means that you have accomplished something. You're not guessing that, you know, whether or not you can. Does that make sense?
I mean, the accomplishment is one thing, but having those toys, if you will, whether it's the home or the car or the ability to travel, are they after 50 now? Do you think those are like more important than kindness and compatibility?
Oh, gosh, no, absolutely not. No, no. I mean, I can say that absolutely not, because we also realize that doesn't make a relationship. You know, it doesn't. The toys mean nothing to a relationship, you know, unless they're the other kind of toys, but not the car and the nothing episode, like
folks. How about authenticity then? Do you think then, in the same kind of area we're talking about, has authenticity replaced perfection then? So it's not all about your achievements and your position and your wallet, but being real. You think that's something that people that you've talked to for the over 50 crowd find really attractive nowadays?
You know what I find super interesting, one about the question and two about what I'm starting to read and hear, is that, you know, the vulnerability is now a big buzzword. You know, everybody more vulnerable, meaning authentic, show the real you, da, da, da. And what happens sometimes is that being more authentic almost becomes a show of its own, because it's been so pushed in our faces. So it's really super important that you actually are authentic and not falling into another trap of pretending you are. Does that make sense? I mean, I thought that was so interesting when somebody pointed that out to me. I mean, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah, I think authenticity is super important. And I think nowadays people are still over 50, too concerned about what other people think of them instead of just being themselves. They're always filtering in, well, how do I answer this? And I guess when you're meeting somebody, a potential partner for the first time, you want to say the right thing, and you don't want to get that X, you know, you don't want to get the X mark right off the bat. So right. You're going to be careful about that. But to me, ultimately, it's all about authenticity. It's all about being who you are and not trying to be somebody you're not, particularly for folks over 50, because who has time to play, you know, charades at that point? I can see maybe when you're younger a little bit, you want to play the game a little bit differently. But I think for folks over 50, you don't want to waste time. There is a clock. It's not ticking that loudly for some people, but it's ticking, and you don't want to waste your time. So I think authenticity, like, you want to get to who this person really is. And ultimately, how do you feel when you are around them? And you can't get to how do you feel when you're around them unless you know who they are.
No, I 100% agree with you. That's why I thought this one thought leader that brought this up was so interesting, because we do realize how important it is. And now we have to really pay attention to showing who we are. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. We're not, and God, that this is, I know it almost sounds juvenile, but even at this age, and again, when you're starting over, it's been a long time, you do think about, you know, how, what does he or she want? You know, how should I, blah, blah, blah. You can't help but think that.
Right.
And that's when it's more important than ever to show who you are and balance that with not oversharing or showing who you are maybe too soon or certain areas. And that becomes a whole other conversation.
Okay. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio is the one and only Silke Schwarzkopf of the runaway hit Second Act TV, all over YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you catch me as a frequent guest on Silke's show, and get your merch too. Here we go. So let's move to another topic, because you explore a lot of real niche topics on Second Act TV in terms of relationships that a lot of times with the women guests, and it's really fascinating for me as a guy to see them. Like, there's these new concepts like LAT, living apart together, the relationship trend nobody saw coming. Couples committed to one another while maintaining separate homes or separate bedrooms or separate beds or a lot of separation. Talk to us about that and why it's become so important, particularly for folks over 50.
Well, because we both have lives, you know, chances are that when you meet after 50, you both have a very established existence already. You know, you either have a house, you have children, you have maybe you're still working, maybe you're not, but you're you're likely entrenched somewhere that you don't really want to leave. You know, the best example of that was the Golden Bachelor thing. I mean, I won't get off on on that tangent, but that was like the perfect demonstration that you really have to think about, okay, if we're going to couple up, what does that mean to our daily living? And a lot of us have figured out that it's okay to have a committed long-term relationship and not give up what you've already established, but you know, go back and forth, whatever that means. And that might sound weird, but Paul and I actually did that for like 10 years. You know, it wasn't like a conscious decision. It just happened that way. We met, we lived an hour apart, and it just went on for 10 years like that. And I think that is what kept us together, actually, quite frankly. We're, you know, we're 15 years now, we've been living together, but it is a different adjustment. There is a lot that, you know, there's a lot of compromise, and you don't necessarily have to do that from the start when there might be so many things that you compromise about. So yeah, lat has become almost not common terminology perhaps, but something that is very beneficial, especially to the older people like us.
Silke, do you find that this is happening with couples that are already together and even married couples, that they're finding way, they're using LAT to strengthen the relationship by creating a space for more personal freedom and just realizing that, hey, we're mature, we're together, but we don't have to be physically together all the time. I mean, I'm personally old school. I didn't get married until I was in my early 50s. But then when I got married, I want to sleep in the same bed as my wife. I don't get a king bed. Then you don't have to be near me all the time. But I know a lot of people, they have separate bedrooms, separate beds and all that stuff. And then, you know, the more you separate, it becomes there's a lot of separation, and maybe the separation overarches the togetherness.
It's a slippery slope there. Yeah, it is a slippery slope. And here's where, there's a big distinction, in my opinion, going into it, like Paul and I did. You know, we met and, you know, we started spending more time together, but it was commuting to each other's places. And then, you know, I mean, it's going that way. If you're married or you already established a relationship together, I think, and I've heard this comes up a lot in LAT discussions, that's a tough one to manage because there is something wrong at that point, in my opinion. You are dealing with rescuing perhaps a relationship instead of just saying, you know what, we're just sick of each other.
Right.
and maybe it can, but I think one person's going to want it more than the other. And I think that is indicative of, you know, something more, you're dealing with something that's wrong, not creating something that's right for both of you, in my opinion.
How about this whole notion? And I don't know if it's an over 50 crowd thing, but you know, you get this hall pass. I mean, I think it's a younger thing where, yeah, you can go, if you meet somebody very special, you can have a sexual relationship with them. Maybe it's just a one-timer thing, but that's okay. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to help. I don't see how that helps a relationship. If I know, like, my wife's out there getting it from somebody else, like, yeah, I feel so much better about our relationship now. I don't see.
No, that I think that's BS all the way around, including for the younger crowd. No, I get it. There's, you know, people have, there's all kinds of alternative relationships, and it works for some people. Absolutely. You know, I'm not speaking for everybody here by any means, but I do believe I'm speaking for the majority, because it's just, you know, if you're together, if you're supposed to be together, if you love each other, you're in a committed relationship, that sort of play, it just causes concern. It does not help. And it is, in my opinion, it's total BS. Now, I have to say something else. I don't know if you wanted to go there or not. It's actually a segment that I'm thinking about doing. I think it's important, that will be very controversial, is your spouse, your significant other is becoming like impaired, like with Alzheimer's, or, you know, to where the mind just isn't there and you're married. Is it okay to have, you know, to establish a new relationship just to save your own sanity? And there's a lot of discussion about that is super, super interesting. And I think I want to explore that at some point. So that's where, but that's typically, you know, for this is really an older person's discussion, and that doesn't apply to the younger crowd.
It could be, you know, flipped around also, like, oh, my wife became paralyzed or something. Can I go have sex with somebody else and I'll still take care of her? Right. So it can work both ways.
Oh, no, it can absolutely work. I mean, male and female.
Yeah.
And with the paralyzed, and that's, I know this is what, where it gets so controversial, because to me, it's if the mind isn't there, then you don't have that person anymore. You know, physical disability, where, you know, we're getting off on another subject, but I may not want to steer, but it's interesting. It's super, super interesting.
Okay, let's switch gears again and go to like the guys radio. Let's talk about the new masculinity meets the new feminine, how men and women over 50 are redefining relationships. So why are many traditional dating expectations, they don't fit anymore when you're over 50? And what modern women really appreciate about guys now versus in the past, where there was certain expectations? You know how our culture gives us narratives, and over time those narratives change. What's your sense from what you hear in terms of, is there a new masculinity with women being self sufficient now? They can take care, they can sustain, they can take care of themselves. They don't necessarily have to rely on the guy. There's so many more women in management positions. I mean, women are getting long overdue recognition, but it's just starting. It's going to be more and more. And guys are going to school, the younger guys are going to school, college, and all less than the women. How does that affect the over 50 crowd? Are the male and female roles being redefined the same way they kind of are for the younger crowd?
Yeah, yes and no. Here's what I find interesting, and what I've gathered from conversations, not just with people our age, but yes, the experts on the show, one of which being John Gray, mm-hmm. who has become highly controversial because, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. The fact is that, yes, women have needed or have earned, as you say, the recognition was a long time in coming. Yes. Mm-hmm. What it's also done is really put stress on relationships. And, you know, with what maturity you bring to the relationship, like from my personal opinion, of course, men and women are different. We're feminine. You know, we have a vagina, and men are masculine. They have a penis. I mean, we're different. And the hormones associated with that affect each other differently. One isn't better than the other, but there are certain roles that still complement each other in the, you know, in a heterosexual relationship. And that's, I think, where the issue start is, what kind of maturity do you bring, you know, to that? Is it, oh no, women are not, how can you say that? You know, women are different, man, blah, blah, blah. See, that's the power play. It's acknowledging really what we bring to each other. And having said that, I think women, what I've found, like women like myself and a lot of my colleagues and peers, we want a confident man. We want a man who is, you know, who's in charge. I mean, that's part of being a woman. That doesn't mean he's overpowering or controlling. But yeah, we want a strong man. Most of us, again, I'm not talking for everybody.
So when you say that, you mean confident, not arrogant, and in charge meaning capable, not really like domineering, right?
Exactly.
Short, you don't want somebody like making all the decisions for you, but you want to know that, hey, I can rely, this guy can take care of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's a fine line there.
Exactly, because what's happening with what women have brought to the table by, you know, doing everything, the man just kind of sits back and gets too comfortable, ends up being, you know, not doing what maybe perhaps they should in quotes. And then the woman gets tired of him because he's gotten to be a bore. I mean, I'm saying this very crass perhaps, but that's ultimately what's happening. You're creating a person, I'm talking about women now, you're creating a man that you don't want because of this. And I've done that. I've done to where I just, you know, to bring what I brought from my career, my work space home, And, you know, next thing I know, I've got a couch potato that I don't want to be with. So I think there's a lot of deep discussions that are associated, you know, with that particular topic. I think it ultimately boils down to is that we are both strong people. We both bring really strong things to the table, and we need to respect each other, you know, and enjoy the feminine qualities and the masculine qualities without overpowering each other. I hope that makes sense and didn't offend too many.
Yeah, because, you know, when we get into the topic like the definitions with a man is this and a woman is that, and what is a man and what is a woman, and can guys have babies and stuff like that, you get into I've seen people in Congress arguing about, you know, can a man have a baby or not, and they go deep on it, and but this is the cult. What all I'm saying is, I'm not judging. I'm saying this is the culture we're living in. So my curiosity is about, for the over 50 crowd and the experts that you've spoken to, how is the over 50 crowd factoring that into their relationships? Or are they pushing it arm's length and saying, no, I want the guy to be the traditional guy. It's just easier. I don't want to change everything at this stage of the game. Or is it a welcome thing? It's nice that he's showing his feminine side, because men have a feminine side and women have a masculine side. And the patriarchy has been running things for like a long, 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 long time. And the matriarchy is bound to be taking over soon, because just the, you know, the yin and yang of the world. So how, boiling that down to just dating after 50, what's the net takeaway in terms of this kind of redefinition of male and females, who they are, what they are, what they bring to the table in a relationship? Is that something that's creating confusion, or is it becoming more and more clear where the over 50 women say, no, I want a guy to be like a guy, but I don't want him to be arrogant. I want him to be confident. I want him to pay the check on the first date. I want him to initiate action, come up with ideas. Or is it no, I welcome the new guy. I want to be the dominant one.
I think it's personal preference, really. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that we put that much thought into it. I think it just kind of happens. And that's where the awareness becomes important. Like, am I overpowering and am I hurting this relationship? You know, or maybe I'm not accepting of a man showing his emotions. Oh, that's another whole other, you know, big topic. Women, oh no, I want you to be emotional. And then the minute he is, that's really not what I want.
Well, talk to us about that. Let's go there right now, because that's tricky, because a lot of the stuff we're talking about is the one who's in the crosshairs is the guys. The guys are not sure. You know, can I kiss her, or do I have to like sign a contract? What is expected of the guy? She makes more money than me now. She's in charge of an organization. I'm not. Maybe I got laid off or whatever, but everything's kind of gone flipped upside down for a lot of men, and they're not sure about, okay, what do I do? I don't want to do the wrong thing. I want to do the right thing, but I want to be a guy. And it's challenging for men nowadays. And I'm not saying, you know, men are weak and they can't handle it. I always say, just be yourself. Just be yourself and do the right thing. Be respectful, be fun, come up with ideas, and don't worry about all of that stuff. Just be a gentleman.
And that's good advice. And when you say, you know, I mean, what certainly isn't acceptable anymore is catcalling and slapping you on the ass walking down the street. I mean, those kind of, you know, that those days are gone. or even just, you know, in a bar, you know, the overpowering lines that men have the expectations they brought. It's very insulting, very insulting. And it always has been to me. I never put up with that anyway, but a lot of women have had to put up with it. And I'm glad those days are gone. What, because of the, again, how far it swung to the other side, is now where men are confused. You know, if I kiss her, am I doing something? I think that's where it gets, you know, you want a confident man, and a woman has to help. I mean, there are signals, you know, that she's interested, that you can absolutely read. And we have videos about that.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, I know. And then, but then just, yeah, you're right. Let's not just be respectful. If the mood drops, you know, and if you get that, and if you feel that, no, then stop. I mean, it's, we make it, I think we overcomplicate it. and partially because of shows like mine, because we talk a lot, we address this topic, and then the more we talk about it, it does become complicated and you do become confused. So to your, the way you close the question or state it, just be respectful is probably the best rule really to go by. I don't know if I answered your question.
Absolutely. I want to keep going on that because something came up there where I was talking to a guy and he's just turning 50 and he was dating somebody new and she'd been kind of out of dating for a while. And I think she had some physical challenges also. And he wanted to, you know, get going with the sexual part of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think he was, you know, pushing her a little bit. I don't mean physically. And he was a little bit frustrated and then things happened and everything worked out. And I said to him, I said, you know what? The woman will let you know. You never have to, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. And you will get the signal and just wait and have a good time. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself. Get to know the person. Believe me, every woman knows that you're interested in you know what, and they'll let you know when it's okay. And I give the example, like I was dating this gal, she was hot. And I was like, I really want to have some fun here. And I figured I'll just forget about it. So she came over my place down the Jersey Shore on a Saturday. I took her to a little local parade, 4th of July parade. We went back to my place. All of a sudden, she was all over me. It was just because it was just a nice, original, authentic thing to do. I wasn't trying to seduce her by taking her to a parade, but for some reason, that was something that turned her on, I guess, or is just like, okay, I'm down here.
Work
now.
For her, yeah.
Whatever. But it's like it's the point is, if you're a guy, even if you're over 50. If you can't figure out, the women want the same thing you want, but this, you have to go about it. You have to be cool.
Well, okay. So I'm going to agree with you I want to clarify. It's funny because we just released a video with Trevor about that. Mm-hmm. It's, we're kissing, now what? And it's the most juvenile, really, premise for discussion. And it's just blowing up on YouTube. We have getting hundreds of comments on it because so many people see themselves in that position. And the way that came up was a viewer suggestion. It was a woman. She goes, you know, I've been dating this guy now for 2 months. I really like him. You know, we hold hands, we do this, we do that. But like, what now? He's not making a move. Should I say that? Should I tell that's not, you know, or should I assume he's not interested? You know, what do I do? So we based it on that. And then we got tons of comments with the same thing, that men maybe aren't reading the signals. And I don't know where the answer is, other than, again, to raise that awareness, you know, what women can do and what men maybe should see or shouldn't see. Maybe there is too much caution. I don't know, but it's a super, super interesting and apparently helpful or cautious topic. We're calling it the gray zone.
I love it.
In between dating, you know, and getting busy.
I love it. And it just shows you, even people over 50 or over 45, whatever, because I know Trevor's market is a little bit more elastic than ours, but they still struggle with that. And I think maybe a lot of guys are backing off, saying, I don't want to be accused of anything. So I'm not going to do anything until she makes a move, mm-hmm. which I think is a mistake, frankly. I think if you're just cool about it and you're respectful and you pay attention, guys, you know, you pay attention.
If I can interrupt you just for a second before I forget, because you said in the first time you asked me that, you know, just be cool. And I know what that means from you, mm-hmm. but that means a lot.
I don't mean cool, like aloof. I mean,
well, that's why I brought it up.
Oh yeah. Just relax.
That can be misinterpreted.
That's
why men do misinterpret it. That's why women misinterpret. You know, what does that mean? Because we do advise that. And what does that mean? Because you do, you know, maybe you're being too drawn, but too cool. Apparently there's a lot to this. I mean, I was surprised. I knew this would be a good video. I didn't realize it was going to just stir up all these memories and all these comments that were, you know, deep comments. You should look at them.
I want to get into that. Silke Schwarzkopf, my special guest on this week's Guys Radio. She's back on the show. Great information. I want to follow up on what we were just talking about, that kind of gray zone, if it's okay with you, because this one, you know, you're talking about this one guy and the woman, he wasn't making any moves and the woman was like, he holds hands, but that's it. Is that an isolated case? From what you've heard, is that a thing now that the guys are like not making moves and the women have to kind of like, hey, or rub their shoulders or whatever to like be more overt in terms
apparently.
Of the signal, like it's okay. Here's the go, you know, here's the green light.
Yeah. We start the interview like that. The woman, another thing she brought up in her comment was, you know, I love your channel, watch it all the time. But, you know, like most channels out there, what you guys talk about is you talk a lot about dating, what to do, what not to do. And then you talk about sex. You get great information about sex after 50 and all the issues with it and blah, 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 blah. But nobody talks about the in-between. How do you get from having that attraction, wanting, you know, to here? And then, you know, then she gave me the example of what she's going through. And I told Trev about that. She goes, that's a great topic because I'm going through that right now with a man I'm helping with. She goes, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And then the response, yes, this is a big issue. Also, one thing that comes into that, Robert, is for after 50, that may, I don't know if it's more or less complicated, but where do you have that hot kiss the first time? Do you make out in the car like teenagers? You know, when do you were talking about inviting the woman you were dating, you know, to parade and then there. Mm. Like at what point do you do that? Does that imply you are going to sleep together? You know, but again, it's like, where do you do it if you have do it? And you have maybe children at home, maybe you have a room. A lot more complications.
Logistics, right?
Yeah, the logistics do complicate it and make it awkward unless you're willing to talk about it. And this is difficult to talk about for a lot of people, where the signals become even more important.
Wow. So much to consider. Where can I have my first hot kiss? I got to figure that out now, too. I think it just has to be organic. Like, you know, you both know you lock eyes and if it's there, it's there. But people can misread that situation. So at any age. So that's tricky. What I thought we'd do, it might be fun, is I want to get into like a lightning round with you, Silke, on this.
I'm going to
ask rapid fire Q&A. Let's try it. So okay. Biggest dating myth people over 50 still believe from what you've heard and from what you think and from what you've learned.
Well, it's that we're too old. They can't find love after 50. That is just it's futile. And, you know, why do it? I mean, that probably is one of the myths that we talk about that we don't think it's going to happen. And that is the huge myth, because you can find somebody after 50 and have best relationship and the best sex of your life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I love it. What we were just talking about, the one green flag that everyone should look for, particularly for the guys.
I guess just being emotionally available, really, for both people. It's another buzzword, emotional, you know, what does that mean? But being warm, being, yeah, available, that you really are available for a relationship. That's the biggest green flag, that you're not bringing a bunch of drama to the table or a bunch of baggage, another whole other topic. But yeah, that you're okay. Emotionally available.
Well, let me drill down a little bit deeper on that. So the green flag, in terms of you mentioned the guy and he wasn't doing anything. So maybe he was looking for a sign and he wasn't getting it in his mind's eye, but it was there. So
I have the buzzword. Emotional safety. That's what everybody's talking about, that both men and women need to feel emotionally safe, that when they do, you're off to the races.
And so what's the signal that the guy should look for to know that the woman is like, come on, buddy, give me a kiss? Let me put it that way, instead of emotional safety. Like, what's the green flag?
Well, if she
a checkered flag or whatever.
Gosh, I mean, it's not a black and white answer. I mean, for example, if you want to give him a strong signal, yeah, I mean, you lean in, touch his arm, you know, maybe even take his face. I mean, you can right. do some physical overtures that can't be misread.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Yeah. Texting versus phone calls. A lot of, obviously, the younger generation, when you're doing Match and all the other online, everything's, you know, swiping left and right, and it's very fast. But the old fashioned phone call is that something that could help build a relationship? I like to personally, when I was dating, I want to hear the other person's voice.
Oh, absolutely. No, that you need to get off text as soon as possible. Unless you physically meet and you know, calling or hearing their voice and having a real conversation is key, because that's also where the scamming and all that comes in. You know, are you really even talking, you know, to the person you think you're talking with? So that's it's so important. So important. You know, I personally, when I first started dating, I was dating a guy I liked him, but he would text me through the night, and they were like really engaging and I was like, wow, yeah, can't wait to get. And in person, it was just totally different. I mean, text should be for planning the day, good meet you here, logistics, you know, hey, right? Good night, yeah. I had fun, but not for, you know,
getting to know somebody in the right way. Okay, what's one dating trend that you hope disappears, for particularly for folks over 50?
A dating trend. Well, we talk about trends or, you know, bad behaviors. I hope that what online dating has created, like, the ghosting, and we know all the buzzwords, that people are recognizing that that's just, it's horrible when it's done, especially when you experience it yourself. So I'm hoping that, you know, the bad dating behavior, which is really fueled by online dating, that subsides, that we're starting to learn our lesson there.
Okay. After 50, can opposites really attract, or is that something for the younger crowd where you're dating so many different people? Hopefully when you're younger, you're getting around and at least meeting a lot of people. And like, sometimes the opposite thing is like, oh, he's quirky. You know, you're in finance, he's a painter, and he's struggling, and you're making a lot of money, and like, okay, that's okay. But then when you're over 50, well, maybe from a different standpoint, that's a good fit also, but it also could be, well, he's got no money and I've got a big house and I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah, that is also, I think, a personal thing. For my personal opinion, I think opposites absolutely attract and can make something very exciting and fun. I don't think that it keeps you together. I think you're more likely, I think having a genuine connection means sharing a lot of the same opinions or values and that sort of thing. So if you're, you know,
interests,
you said,
also,
painter,
right?
Yeah, if your interests don't have to be the same. Okay. You do not have to have the same interests, but I think value-based stuff, that's where opposites sometimes do not keep you together.
All right, the last one. There's a lot of folks who are professionals. They're over 50. They've had a career. Mm-hmm. They may still be working. They may not, but a lot of them are, if they're successful. What's the biggest mistake that the professionals make when they're dating?
Well, just not being available to date. Not being available, that you have to decide is, you know, do I have time for someone in my life? Because like you said earlier, you know, we don't have that much time to waste. So if you're dating, what do you want out of that? Do you really want a relationship? Do you have room for a relationship? That's, I think, the biggest thing.
Do you think people, from what you've heard, are people actually taking the time? I always say, before you get back out in the dating game and the dating world and dating environment, you need to take a step back and kind of be a little circumspect. What do I want? What do I have to offer? Am I attracting the same type of person who ultimately isn't right for me? Like, take that time before going back out there. Do you notice that, something like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We just did a video on it. I'm going to edit it this afternoon. It's like the three traits that absolutely will get you, you know, a date or it's huge. And some people do, some people don't. And then there's also like when you talk about what you want, that becomes a whole discussion also. But yes, you have to be, you have to look inside, you know, what is it? Am I bringing to the table what I want you to bring to the table? You know, are we two people who can grow together, or do I have expectations that I can't meet myself?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Silke, incredible insights and information as always. What's giving you the most hope about love today?
the most hope. Well, I mean, it exists. You can, and you can find it at any age. I'm not saying it's easy, but all the examples that I have, both, you know, that I get from my viewers, and then just in my personal life, close friends over 70 that found the love in their life. You know, it's all about mindset and believing that you can. And I know that sounds, oh yeah, sure. But it's true. You know, if you, it's that old saying, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And the first thing about finding love is believing that you can.
I love it. Silke Schwarzkopf, back on Second Act TV always. And also right now on Guys Radio. We're going to have you back again, of course. Thank you so much for being with us. And love talking to you. All right.
I love talking with you too. I know our last video is doing great.
Awesome. Subscribe to Second Act TV. All right, folks. See you soon.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it. Defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another terrific conversation. And my very special thanks to Silke Schwarzkopf for joining us once again and for sharing her thoughtful perspective on what it means to date and build meaningful relationships in today's world when you're over 50. You know, one of the biggest takeaways for me is that this chapter of life isn't about trying to recreate relationships we had in the 20s and 30s. It's about creating something that reflects who we are now, wiser, more self-aware, and hopefully more intentional about the kind of partnership we want. And whether that means embracing independence, redefining commitment, recognizing red flags earlier, or simply staying open to unexpected possibilities, love doesn't come with an expiration date. In many ways, it can become richer because we know ourselves so much better as we age. If you want to learn more about Silke and her work, be sure to check out Silke on Second Act TV. And just one other point here. You know, we talked about heterosexual dating and gay and trans, and we're not judging. It doesn't matter. My credo and our credo on Guys Radio is there's not enough love in the world, and whoever you are and however you define yourself is your business. We just want to help people find relationships that work for them. And I think the biggest key is just to be authentic, be yourself, and be positive. And of course, you got to be in it to win it. So you got to put yourself out there and meet new people and enjoy the journey. So that's what we've got for you today on Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.